Sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes, yes. You've landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM. Or maybe you're one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with you, we are glad to have you. If you want to call in and contribute to the conversation, perhaps we'll answer the phone, perhaps not. But if you decide to, we'll give us a call at 604-822-2487 or email us at caroline@juiceboxradio.com or julia@juiceboxradio.com. And on that note, I hope, listeners, you're going to send us a few Valentines this year.
On that note?
That is what the show is all about.
Oh, it's Valentine emails, yes.
Well, Valentine nightmares, actually, but I hope you don't send us nightmares. I hope you send us nice, sweet, lovely, sexy things that you want to talk to us about.
Well, you know, it is that time of year, and of course, we have to do at least one show on Valentine's Day because it has a lot to do with relationships and sex, which is what our show is about, sex and relationships. So if we didn't do a Valentine's show, we would just be remiss at, you know, being good producers of a sex and relationship show, right, Caroline? So as much as we're single, and I don't know if you have any plans for Valentine's Day, I personally am going to go to the people's prom because I think, you know, I can just dress up in some queer bending thing and just go out and be flamboyant and watch everyone get drunk. while I stay sober. Anyway,
I'm giving lots of love to women in the prison system, actually, which sounds really interesting if you listen to it that way. But we're actually doing makeovers for women in the prison system and combining with Dress for Success, where they're going to be modeling all the clothing. Dress for Success actually gives an outfit for the first day on the job. And these women are going to get to model those while we do their hair and makeup. So
nice.
It's going to be pretty exciting. So I'll be out in Abbotsford at 10 a.m. on Valentine's Day, just giving love and just really encouraging and empowering people, which is kind of what we do all the time. And this is kind of exciting because this is our second Valentine's Day show, actually, because last week we talked about BDSM and Valentine's Day and how you can use that to spice up your Valentine's Day. Which
giving people some creative sex ideas.
Exactly.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking a little bit more about dating and Valentine dates, bad dates, and how to escape from those, and also what things to not talk about. So really, this is the Valentine nightmare show. We figure there's not nearly enough of the negative and reality-based programming out there about this holiday that all of us seem to put a lot of either onus on, you know, pressure, or we just absolutely choose to be a slacker or ignore it completely and curse it. But honestly, it is a holiday about love and the heart. And I think that, you know, if you just forget the cards and the whole, you know, money grabbing aspect of it all and the pressure, and think of something creative that expresses your love to your family, your friends, you know, that's the secret. So we're going to kind of talk more about the fun and the games this time, but that's my personal opinion. It's like Valentine's Day is a time about love, and you also have a strong thought on this.
Valentine's Day is about love, but I think kudos for you if you decide to go for flowers and candy, as long as you mean it and the heart's behind it. Mm-hmm. It's not just for the sake of doing it, like I spent $200 on a bouquet of flowers.
Or got really creative and did a bunch of things and sent you to a spa and then had, you know, roses in the card and it directed you here and, you know, and we went for this perfect dinner and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I mean, good for you to do all that stuff. That's great, but, you know...
It doesn't have to be that. There's different ways of showing your love.
Yeah, and you could also do it every day of the year. You could do a little something, or once a month. It doesn't have to be on the 14th of the month of February. But anyways, it is that time of year, so we're going to be talking about some good sex, bad sex, some tips on how to deal with those lewd, crude, and utterly rude dates that you might have, some of the ongoing nightmares that a lot of us withstand in the dating world. And it's going to be, I think we found some pretty funny stuff. So we're going to have some fun. Top of the hour, bad dates. This is something that I think happens to every single one of us who dates. We all have our stories. You can read endless stories on blogs everywhere. But we thought we would give you some tips on how to escape out of bad dates. And this is from Cosmo.com. It's pretty funny, pretty funny stuff. So how do you make a bad date escape? I mean, he's weird, he's rude, he's annoying, and you haven't even ordered your food yet. So the next time you're out with a lout, use one of our evening-ending strategies to Houdini your way out of there in a hurry. So, there's four exit plans here. First one.
He's Mr. Nice, but not for you. Your best friend sets you up with a guy who looks just like Keanu Reeves' little brother, but now you're halfway through dinner and he won't stop talking about how his ex-girlfriend broke his heart.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh. Plus, he's wearing Argyle everything, and you think you might have caught a whiff of Old Spice?
Perhaps your dad's cologne.
This guy may be somebody's idea of Mr. Right, but he's definitely not yours. The problem is you can't bear to hurt his feelings, and before you know it, he's puckering up for a goodnight kiss or asking for another date. So you've got to make sure that he knows that you're not interested. And it's important to soften your rejection with flattery. And you can try something like, well, we don't really have that much in common, but I think you're really sweet, wonderful, whatever you want. Just fill in the blanks that way. And you can ask him if it'd be okay to give your phone number to one of his friends who'd be just perfect for him. I've actually used that one before.
I have myself, which is why we're recommending them. And then there's Mr. Don't You Want Me? I mean, this guy has been following you around the gym for weeks, and he's always offering to spot you on the incline leg presser to hold your feet while you're doing sit-ups so he can sneak a few furtive glances up the legs of your shorts. And finally you give in and go on a date with him, because after all, he isn't a complete jerk. So he takes you dancing and he rubs against you so hard he crushes the crotch of your velvet pants. And unfortunately, it's going to take more than a polite dismissal at the end of this night to convince Mr. Passionate that his eager beaver attitude isn't working for you. And one of the book writers in this article said it's no time to be subtle. For men with major egos, anything remotely positive that you say could be misinterpreted as a mating call. And I know a lot of men like this. So listen up here. Your best bet may be to bring up a topic that will unplug his love machine. Like, I'm just dying to get married and have a baby. Or,
my last boyfriend was so incredibly well endowed, and ever since then, anything less than 12 inches, well, it just makes me laugh.
Or, buy me a drink. Alcohol helps clear up yeast infections. Which it doesn't, by the way.
Which that leads into Mr. Lewd, Crude, and Utterly Rude, which I guess can go both ways for men and women. So, okay, the guy sitting across the table from you doesn't have a single thing going for you. He called you baby cakes within 10 minutes of meeting you, leered at the waitress as she walked away, and now he's telling you that all women are good for is cooking food and having babies. You don't even want to be breathing the same air as this guy, much less going out with him again. And what the dating expert, Martinez, just recommends is you could get up and just walk out. But sometimes it's easier just to avoid creating a scene by coming up with a creative excuse. And you could tell them that you have to check your messages and come back looking distraught. Explain that your 90-year-old next-door neighbor called and you have to run to the pharmacy before it closes to pick up a prescription. The other thing, you could pretend that you lost your wallet, your keys, your winning lottery ticket. That would be nice, hey, Jules?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but just find an excuse. And
yes, so, and then of course, the last one that they recommend on Cosmo about getting out of a bad date is what they call Mr. Sukasa Imikasa. And this, the date sucked, but you took pity on him and offered him a cup of coffee. And now it's pushing 2 a.m. and he's just not leaving. So you've already made mistake number one. You've invited a guy into your home just to be nice. It's better to be rude than to end up in a situation where you're not comfortable. So there's three ways to pry the leering lug from your sofa. One is send him out. Send him on an errand that you think will be worth his while. Tell him nothing turns you on more than chocolate ice cream. But oops, you're out. Guys will do just about anything if they think it will lead to sex.
It then the minute, on the guy.
Then the minute he's gone, lock the doors and turn off the lights. Oh God, that's not very nice.
No, scare him out. Tell him that your parents are coming from out of town and should be at your apartment any minute. Or your brother who just got out of prison. Or your boyfriend.
The linebacker.
Anything that makes it clear that sex is not an option. And if you really need to do it, gross him out.
I think the grossing him out part, confessing your inexplicable rash or your disgusting bodily discharges may backfire, especially if he tells every other guy in town about how your date ended. But when a guy just won't leave, sometimes you have to pull out all the stops and something along the lines of, my toenail fungus is really bothering me. Can you give me a foot massage? Should deter even the most ardent suitor. I don't know about this, but...
I don't know either.
Cosmo, I don't know.
I think in general, you should never invite a guy over. So
no.
If he's making you uncomfortable, it's safety. Even if you like him a lot, you should take a little bit of time to get to know him before you invite him into your home. It's easier
Absolutely.
To leave their home as opposed to invite him into yours. So it's just, I just think it's safer and mm-hmm. keeping things in public places, not letting him know where you live until you get to know him, if it's a first date or an online date or anything, just so you can get really comfortable, you establish safety. Then after that, after you get to know him a little bit better, you can have him over.
Now, Caroline, you had a fabulous idea with these phone call thing, and apparently we found this online, so we had to pull it out. And go ahead, honey, since this is something that you're keen on.
I just thought it was really, really fascinating. For years, Jules, have I ever pulled this one on you where I've called you, or I think I might have even had you call me when I used to work at the dance studio, where it'd be like, you'd call and I'd be like, hey, I think, you forgot your keys to lock up? Oh, gee, I guess I better come over there. Sorry, sweetheart, I gotta go. And
yeah.
I'd pretend I was going to go meet you because you had a situation. Well, now, Hearst is actually launching a Cosmo fake call, so if you need an excuse to get out of a date, it's actually really interesting. I thought that was funny. They're launching Cosmopolitan fake calls. It's a service that calls cell phone users and provides them with excuses to get out of bad dates, which I thought was interesting, which it was inspired by Sex and the City, so I guess we're very similar to that, hey, Jules?
Yeah, pay per call.
And there's different flavors of calls, and I need to get one out as soon as possible, one that calls you in 30 minutes if you're not sure if the date's going well. And users will be able to program the timing and type of calls they believe that they'll require.
Yeah, very good.
I just thought that was cool. Other options.
Yeah.
Like that could come from, I don't know, like significant others or an angry employer.
Yes, it could sound very convincing. So the person just hears this, wah, 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 the and you're like, okay,
and
gotta
then we'll
go. Very good idea.
And they're doing it now. So I guess when we think about these things, we got to act on them fast, Jules. We could be making millions of dollars now with this.
Anyway, on date topics and what to do and not do on dates. And, of course, in the second half of the show, we're going to be doing more about sex and what to do and not do in the sex topics. But on dates,
conversation usually precedes sex. Not always, but a lot
often,
of the time. So
often.
Let's start with conversation no-nos. And this is from aboutman.com. And it's got great advice for both sexes.
Right, well, you're enjoying your first meal together, and everything seems to be going fine, and then you make this comment about your latest vacation romance, and then everything starts to go sour, and you think, what went wrong? Well, there's certain subjects you should absolutely avoid bringing up on a date, and if you enter into a serious relationship with the person, then these topics will come up eventually, but these following five topics are taboo for the first few dates with pretty much anyone, but for women, this particular one is from about men. So your vices. Don't talk about your vices. I mean, it's taboo because you kind of have to treat dating like a job interview. I mean, you don't want them to find out all the things that are really horrible and unreliable about you in the beginning. So steer clear of talking about your drinking and your smoking binges. Drinking binges and smoking and other maybe bad behavior, like your gambling habit in the past or your coke addiction that you used to have.
The fact that you like to pick your nose and put it on the wall.
She's going to figure out all these things in the long run. So honestly, from the men's side of the words here, you're not supposed to talk about your vices, like your sex addiction. I cannot tell you how many men have told me about these issues. And it's just like, I'm like, okay, well, you know I'm never going to see you again now,
it's
right?
It's because you've got your master's, so they think that they can talk to you about these things.
I guess. It's free therapy.
And I've actually had guy friends who are really into the whole BDSM thing who think that they should tell a girl within the first or second date, and it's really important. So
that
they don't
they're a sadist? And a masochist, you mean?
Exactly.
Oh, great.
And because they don't believe in wasting someone's time,
right.
Which I've argued over that one, where I think if you have a healthy relationship with somebody, a lot of times they're more open to exploring things.
Well, we're talking conversation on the first few dates, and I guess, you know, there's got to be some kind of air of mystery.
Definitely. Mysterious is good. Not to talk about is money. And it's one of those things, you know, you're not supposed to talk about it. We learned that when we were kids. It's basically show, don't tell is probably a good motto to have. And talking about any financial issues with somebody
early on
is concerned.
Don't tell. Show.
So this includes all references to salary, the type of cars you drive, how much you pay for your rent or mortgage.
Jeez.
And while you think it may be a wonderful and enhance your appeal to women, it's better if she learns about your financial status in subtle ways. Like, for example, picking her up in a nice car comes across a lot better than having it in your like online profile in a dating thing. You know, or
and I think, you know, it's just so tacky and it's so arrogant and it's really unattractive when men are talking about, you know, just any kind of thing like that around money. It's just really a major turnoff. And believe it or not, women don't actually want you to talk about your future together. You know, men seem to think that this might help win us over, but really, we don't want to talk about our future because we don't have one yet. And really, it's about the moment. And this is nothing like dating is so much about being in the moment with each other and not talking about past or future.
Definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Other things is please don't talk about your exes. I mean, you may, or past conquests, you may think that they know that you're a man in demand, that you're going to be more desirable, but all it makes them wonder is, gosh, how many people have slept with, and it makes you sound like a player. So, I mean, unless she asks you a direct question on the subject, avoid talks about it. It's supposed to be about you and her and what's in between you two, not all the stuff about your one-night stands, exes, and past flings.
And, of course, we are talking about gay, straight, and everything else.
Exactly.
We're just sort of using the male-female, but definitely on first few dates, this goes across the board, both genders. And I think this is really important. Recently, I had a conversation with someone, and they said, you know, the first conversation, they start talking about their body ailments. Like, I feel like we're all of a sudden dating in the 80s. Like, we're 80 years old and dating. The most important thing is to talk about how your body is broken. So I think your ailments, I would keep them close to your chest as well. Really, if you've got a wrist or a knee or a hip problem, you might need to just brush up on your conversation skills. So it's not like you have to hide your ailments specifically, and they're generally not deal breakers, but on the first few dates, you know, you have a short amount of time to impress each other. So if you can spend if you spend half an hour complaining about your medical conditions, you're going to be coming across as sort of a weak, self-pitying, whiner kind of person who's high maintenance. And who wants to go out with a high maintenance whiner with the broken, unless you've got broken wing syndrome, which I guess you're going to be cursed to follow in my footsteps.
Or unless you really are into the whole gold digging thing and you've taken out a life insurance policy for this person, you're going to die soon. So
then
you
might
make them a millionaire.
Drop them over a ridge, go hiking with their knee issue over a very unstable cliff. Anyway, all right. And then the future, of course, again, we could have talked touched on the future, but women generally want men that are serious-minded and they're thinking about the future, but they don't want them crazy and clingy either. So there's this fine balance that comes between being independent and still showing that you're looking to get serious someday in the future. But, you know, if you're on your second date with someone, you start talking about how many kids and the trip you're going to be taking together down the road, it's creepy. I think you come across as needy and you end up scaring people off.
I think it comes across as you just want to get married sometimes and you don't really care
who you're getting married to.
And sometimes I've been on dates like that myself where you wonder, well, I've wondered, does this person even know who I am? Do they really care? Mm-hmm. Or are they just trying to make you fit into a box of something that they their ideal perfect little list where they're, have that little tick mark. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's that. Yeah. Oh, she's not. Oh, okay. We better get rid of her.
So on Valentine's Day Nightmare Show, bite your tongue is basically what we're trying to say. You want to have a good impression. I mean, give it a few dates. Let the feelings kind of be naturally expressed between you. This isn't a dumping ground. It's supposed to be kind of a time to be in the moment and just sort of be playful and express sort of positive stuff to each other.
Which on that note, it's good to compliment your date. Don't.
Yeah, so this was the don't do's, not the do-do's.
Oh, no, I'm getting to that. Don't tell them that they look fat and don't start advising them what they should eat because it's low fat.
Who does this on dates?
Somebody that we went to high school with.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. I couldn't believe that happened, but I thought that was really entertaining where she actually invited him over for a meal. He opened her fridge and started pulling out all the foods in the fridge that were fattening and told her that she'd look a lot healthier.
Okay.
I thought that was highly entertaining. But there's some really interesting things that have happened, some absolute nightmares for people who actually put an effort in to try and being really romantic.
On Valentine's Day. So on Valentine Nightmare Night, in the last few minutes of our first half of the show, we have a few quick little stories about some of the more nasty things that have happened to people. So this woman had a nice romantic candlelit bubble bath together. I think this is a great idea to do with your partner. Fill the tub with hot water, bubbles, whatever, candles, and some of them on the edge, of course, and when she leaned across, of course, her hair caught on fire, and she hears this horrible, quiet, crackling sound, and she seriously burned her hair and burned her head, and of course, the smell is like death. Death warmed over, so needless to say, they're both shooken up, and it does put a damper on the romance, so be careful.
Definitely be careful. It sounds really, really, really painful, actually, Jules.
Yeah, so the other one is like, I think there's a couple more. X hits the spot. So this woman goes on. She's secretly dating two guys, Dan and Joe, for a few months. And she tells Joe she didn't want a relationship so that she could get serious with this Dan guy. And on Valentine's Day, Dan takes her out for dinner. And she almost chokes on her drink when her waiter arrived, and it was Joe. And to make matters worse, Dan orders a dish with bechamel sauce, which he loved, and he gushed to the waiter, a.k.a. her ex, if she could cook like this, I'd marry her. I mean, she really wanted to die. I mean, this poor guy.
That's going to be pretty embarrassing, but it's bad karma, isn't it?
If you find this happening to you, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you go to a restaurant with one guy and you recognize, you can just make a quick exit and say, you know, I remember eating here one time and there was cockroaches crawling up the wall or something. Just leave. Find a way to leave. Anyway.
I think this next one is a pretty common one. I decided to have a low-key Valentine's Day with my live-in boyfriend. I had this feeling he was going to surprise me by making a special dinner, sending me flowers. So I didn't talk to him all day. So I was really excited to see what he planned when I got home from work and I walked in the door to find him sitting in front of the TV in sweatpants. He gave me the lamest card I've ever seen and then asked, "What do you want to order for dinner?" I was so shocked that to him, low-key meant absolutely nothing at all.
Well, there was a lame card. And also, expectations are the demise of each and every relationship in anyone's life. And so, honestly, men and women out there, you need to lower them. It's like, you have to just not have any is probably best. Just not have any. I mean, I'm not saying you have to have, like, you know, loose boundaries and substandard, whatever, exactly. I'm just saying, like, expectations will be the demise of your relationship. So you need to just, like, make your request, yes. Be clear about what it is you want or don't want in a relationship or in bed or whatever. But don't have any expectations. Like, she didn't talk to him all day, and she was making up this whole dream in her head about how it was going to happen. So, you know, it's just, a recipe for disaster. It really doesn't work.
No, it's true. People tend to break up because of that.
So at the end of this little few minutes, Caroline, do you have a Valentine nightmare to share? I have one myself.
I've got several. Which ones do you care to share?
Well, I don't know. Just give me one about Valentine's Day.
I recently was actually asked to be part of a Valentine's Day present, actually, from this woman actually asked me if I'd have sex with her in front of her boyfriend because she thought it would be quite lovely.
What an honor to be asked.
Oh, especially since this guy had been calling me since the summer. I thought it was highly entertaining, wanting to date me. This came from his live-in girlfriend, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, interesting. Speaking of group sex, I think one of the most nightmarish Valentine's Days I have ever had was when my, I guess it was a boyfriend of 4 years, made up a date for Valentine's Day with this other couple. He's like taking me to this romantic dinner and I'm all excited thinking, wow, you know, because he never did anything very romantic with me. And I was thinking, oh, this is wonderful. So we show up at this dinner and there's this hot couple and we're joining them for dinner.
And something else
and
were you
then,
dessert?
And then he brought them back to the house and we ended up having sex with this couple and it was, you know, I mean, as far as foursomes go, it was a pretty good one. And they're pretty cute and pretty willing and all that, but yeah, it was Valentine's Day, and I kind of thought it should be more about us and our love, but again, I guess my expectations.
It comes down to expectations.
It was heartbreaking for me in some ways.
I've had one heartbreaking story on that one where one of my exes, at the time we were together, called me and said that he wanted to talk to me. So I drove over to his place, and I thought we were on the same page, which I was planning to break up with him, and I was so glad he'd do it first. So I said, you go first, Wynn, and we sat there. He told me he really wanted me to move in with him because he saw us going in a different direction. And then he leaned over to kiss me and said, so what did you want to talk to me about?
And you're like, I was planning on ending it. The opposite.
I just unfortunately didn't say anything right away. I just held him and then broke up with him a couple weeks later.
How
I told
gentle,
him I wasn't ready.
How gentle of you.
I just couldn't do it on Valentine's Day. I felt
how
really
gentle.
Bad.
It was lovely of you to do that. I did break up with this man that I just told you about the next
on
year on Valentine's Day.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Julia, you're breaking our rules.
I ended it on Valentine's Day with him. I told him, I said, you know, Valentine's Day is for the two of us, and I, you know, don't want this happening like a repeat of last year. Can we do something alone? And he ended up making dinner plans with a bunch of other people. So I said, either you break those dinner plans with those other people,
or
it's over. Which I don't recommend you do, especially after 5 years, but this was coming up to quite a bit of issues between us, and it was sort of like the last straw.
It was probably the best thing, though.
It was the last straw. Yeah. Anyway, I think the most memorable and the most embarrassing, but yet so sweet, was in online.
It was.
You can podcast
People
it.
Podcast.
You can go back 2 years ago.
February 14th, 2007.
February 14th, 2007, when Dan Four made an appearance here wearing nothing but a little G-string and a box of chocolate.
That had something, the box of chocolate was stuffed
in, his,
in
crotch.
His crotch.
His already voluminous crotch, which didn't need much stuffing, but he definitely made an impression on us, didn't he, Caroline?
Oh, he definitely. It was gyrating, and all you could hear was the rustling because it was in his pants, and it was wrestling against his pubic hair.
And he brought us both a bouquet of flowers.
Which was very sweet.
Very nice.
Since I was single that year, too.
And I was very, very embarrassed, and I hate surprises, so that was horrible. But at the same time, I look back on it quite fondly, and when I'm going to be an old grandmother in a rocking chair, I hope that one comes back into my memory.
And in all honesty, I've never laughed so hard on air before.
So, yes, for those people who'd like to follow Caroline and I's life, you can go back to that one a couple of years back, and I think it's in the very bottom of our podcast page. All right, so there are a lot of romantics out there that are planning to propose this year, and Caroline and I were going to go on about this, but we decided to just say to you, make sure you do
your
research on the net to make sure that you aren't making a big boo-boo on this important occasion.
That may be a separate show.
Yes, some of the stuff we were looking at tonight was just so crazy funny.
Especially stuff on YouTube.
Oh, God. So, yeah, please make sure you're not doing something stupid, because this is something that's going to be remembered for the rest of your lives, and it's sort of a sign of how you do your relationship. So try to do it better than you've planned. Anyway, we wish you luck with that. Yes, we'll take a short break. Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls, especially at this time. So call in at 604-822-2487 if you have any Valentine nightmares to share. You are in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM in the Lotus Land of Vancouver. And we will be right back.
And this song goes out to Mr. Crude, Lewd, and whatever we call
Rude.
Rude and Crude, Lewd.
Oh, great.
We'll be right back.
We got some dead air. We're not going to let that happen on this Valentine Nightmare show. No way. Welcome back to Juicebox Radio. We just to warn you, this is an adult audience listening show. So if you are tuning in, and you're
advised.
Yes,
listener discretion
advised, and
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Thank you.
I was just having memories of our smut show, actually.
We should have been playing a PSA, more importantly. We did our own warning. Anyway, PSA tonight, we'll do one at the end, I guess.
Sure, we will do it about beauty night. Well, actually, we already did it. We talked about prison and about the fact that we're doing makeovers for women in prison.
Okay. Not much of a public service announcement, but anyway, we are a public service announcement, aren't we? Because honestly, we're going to be helping you to have better sex, and so that is a public service.
It's a very, very public service because it creates endorphins, and endorphins make you happy, as do orgasms. So it's all a good thing, which on that note, that was Human League that you were listening to. Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Oh, my God. 1982. The makeup and the hair and the makeup was so bad. Okay. All right. Well, we've got about 20 minutes to juice you up here on the box. And so...
I love my juice box being boxed.
This time of year, again, is about love. And it's not about candies or flowers, although they are fabulous and we do love them. So if you are buying chocolates this year, try mink chocolates because they're going to Beauty Night, some part of the proceeds.
Yes, they're donating proceeds from the 20% from the Romeo and Juliet ones, as well as they have sell coffee there as well, and they're donating the total tips. So it's quite lovely in terms of that. So that is our PSA, which Beauty Night provides makeovers and other wellness programs to disadvantaged women and youth to provide positive lifestyle changes.
Check out beautynight.org.
There, that's our PSA, and it is live from the president and the vice president of the board.
Our whole other job. All right. Now, if you're single on Valentine's Day, and it is a nightmare just because you're single.
It doesn't have to be a nightmare. It's important to love yourself. Spend time with people
yourself.
You love.
To start your day with a good masturbation session. Then take yourself out for a massage. Enjoy a nice walk or go for a coffee or whatever on the drive.
Or meditate.
Something like that. Meditate, etc. Go spend time with some people you love.
To celebrate your relationship.
Send them a little Valentine's card or do something that helps you to just to show the people in your life that you love them. Take this time to do that. Why not? But enjoy yourself. Have a sleepover with your girlfriends. Get your favorite silly movie and a bottle of champagne and or a bucket of ice cream or whatever it is and get drunk. Get drunk and put your beer goggles on and get laid. Just make sure that you use condoms.
And
bring your condoms.
For men and women.
Whatever you're doing, enjoy the day. Mark it in some way, shape, or form so you don't get all depressed about it.
Which in terms of sex, if you are having sex and having your beer goggles on, or even not, just be careful with things like dry fingers, dirty fingers, schmegma, all sorts of things. Careful to make sure that the condom doesn't break.
Mm-hmm.
Just being really, 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 really careful, which if you do, you can get plan B from the pharmacy if you can't get yourself into a clinic.
Brilliant. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If it breaks, go get your plan B and yes.
Yes. It's great that you can get it over the counter these days.
Exactly. You don't have to go to any kind of pharmacy or, I'm sorry, clinic or see a doctor. No.
You just pay an extra charge for it.
As long as you're 15.
It's doable.
15 and over. All right. So if you're under 15, well, you got to go to a clinic then. So, okay, people often have some really bad sex habits. Now, my last long-term relationship and I basically fell apart because of his bad sex habits. And he had a very sensitive ego about it. And so I couldn't really help him get better because everything I ever tried, he would get very upset. So I
hope he's not listening to this show.
I'm sure he isn't. He hasn't called me in 3 years. I don't think he's listening.
I think I figured out who you're talking about.
Anyway, so really, I think part of the problem, a lot of women have this misguided impression that men have delicate egos, and I think sometimes they do, but I think it's very important that we have an inclination, ladies or gentlemen, to point out ways that our lovers can improve their lovemaking and to be open to your lover expressing to you ways that maybe are going to work better. So very important that you don't cut corners in the bedroom. I think of all other parts of your life, if you're in a relationship, if you want to stay in that relationship and have a happier and more satisfied, life, I think really improving your lovemaking is one of the keys to keeping that happening. So we have some habits. I think the 7 good habits of a good lover.
Be handy.
Be a handyman.
You need to be a handyman, whether or not you're wearing the overalls or not. When it comes to using your hands, you got to use them to get her worked up. And you can't afford to be all thumbs, at least according to the guide to getting it on. So next time your fingers are doing their love thing, make sure you get them into the right position. And whenever a woman masturbates, she often rests her wrists on her lower abdomen just above her pubic bone. And if this is what your partner does, so sometimes it's really nice to actually masturbate and watch each other do this
right.
So you can figure out how she does it.
And or how he does it.
Exactly. Try to do the same thing. It will influence how your fingers feed on her vulva. And I think we're getting feedback, are we not?
I don't know what that was, but you can maybe turn off that CD3 thing.
CD3.
And then also, I think, try laying parallel and just kind of reaching your arm until your fingers can reach into her crotch. These are very important. I think any man who knows how to do a good hand job, and women, of course, we're going to get to you women later. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what men can do for women right now. And just great lovers know how to start with light and gentle. I don't care who you are. Women are always happy to be touched lightly and gently until we ask to start. It's really a good way to remember to go. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Then you can tease and you can caress and you can do all these things. But one of the keys that I've noticed that with men with hand work is that they tend to just use one finger.
Yes.
And I think you need to use like a flat hand, a few fingers at a time when you're rubbing. And the very important and subtle detail, get the whole sort of wrist and hand working. Not just your one finger stab away or poke away or whatever you're doing.
And again, be gentle with it.
Yes, stabbing and poking gently.
Yes, you don't want to accidentally shove your whole fist up there.
Or I'm talking about even just rubbing the clitoris and playing with the labia.
Yes, desensitizing okay. things. That could be really, really painful.
All right, so habit number two, stay in training. Now, I think this is very important. I think if a man can learn a lot about being a better lover through masturbating, as Caroline was saying, and this is aboutmen.com as well, you can check this out. One of men's biggest concerns is that they're going to come too soon. So if you masturbate or if you don't, one of the two, you can learn how to manage your, your ejaculation.
Premature ejaculation.
Early ejaculation. I think we would just call it early. Early ejaculation. So if you masturbate, like you say, don't go out with a loaded weapon kind of thing. That can sometimes help. But I think if you have an ongoing problem, then you need to sort of look at how to breathe through and reduce getting away from having a 0 to 10. I can't express myself very well right
now.
It's okay.
But basically, you should adopt a breathing practice, whether you're going to yoga classes, going to meditate,
sure.
however, so you can focus and learn how to channel that energy. You'll actually have better orgasms,
yes.
both for yourself and your partner.
Right.
And if you can encourage yourself and your partner to actually have a healthy breath practice, it's good. But staying in training, check out just ideas, videos, read, experiment, and definitely keep masturbating. It's like sex boot camp. It's really, really important. All those things. Make sure you're healthy, you're eating well,
mm-hmm.
lubricated, hydrated, all that lovely stuff.
Okay.
So, slow down, boys.
Yes. So, okay, so habit three, a good one to get into is broadening your horizons. Now, you don't just simply grab a woman's breasts and then dive for her crotch. You want to kind of try to use other kind of methods and be creative, basically. Habit four, float like a butterfly. Women like receiving oral sex as much as you do, men. I know that it might be difficult for you to put this around your head, but we actually do like to have oral sex given to us.
So, we like it a lot.
Yeah. So spending time kissing and touching until there's some arousal happening is really important. And then you can sort of stampede for the clitoris. But don't just start to go there. And often, if you feel like when you go down on your partner that it takes a long time to get her anywhere, really a good idea is to maybe just start with all the other parts of her body. So you don't have to do so much work when you actually get down to business of the oral sex department.
And that can go the opposite way as well, ladies, when you're working on your man, where you don't need to go straight for his cock. You can take your time and kiss other areas of his body and be really, really gentle about it.
And you don't have to do so much work when you get down
to the business. Exactly. So you don't have to worry about your jaw clamping up.
That's right. So, and another thing about this is keeping her waiting. So basically teasing. It doesn't come naturally to men.
No, it doesn't. But
it's very appealing for women. So
very much.
We must keep the teasing. Remember to tease. Teasing and not going, like I said, don't stampede for the breasts and stampede for the clitoris. Do a lot of teasing, very light touches, doing different things around the body. I mean, these are all good tips.
It's
boys.
A great way to bring your BDSM back into
women.
Your bedroom, because it's basically
lovers.
By teasing, you're kind of torturing them in a really sexy, sexy way.
Right.
As long as you don't tease her too long, but you give her blue balls in that way. Even though for most women, they like having a lot more foreplay and having fun, so you can take it like 10 times longer. You can really, 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 really slow down.
I don't think a woman gets blue balls, honey. I think it's more. She'll get vasocongestion, like pain, but in the sort of uterus area, maybe in the. But if she has an orgasm, then she'll be fine. So as long as you have an orgasm, she'll be all right, ladies.
If she's able to have an orgasm.
Well, she can take care of herself at the end if nothing's working, can't she?
Yes, and just being careful not to desensitize anything where she gets sensitive and starts clenching her legs together.
I don't know what you mean, but anyway.
Well, just if they're focusing on one area at the time, it's the same thing as a woman focusing on the tip of a cock for way too long and the guy starts getting ticklish and squeamish. It's the same thing as a clitoris, where if you focus a little too much on it and there's a little bit too much pressure and it's not exactly...
Well, if she starts pulling away or, like you said, clenching her legs together, then I think that's a
change.
Sign to move away from whatever it is you're doing. Now, let's talk about... sex tips for wives in 1894 versus today by a lovely named woman named Ellie White. And this was published in late 2008, so it's kind of recent. She talks about sex tips from 1894, and then she goes on to give us the most recent 2008 versus how we are in 2008. So, Caroline and I thought this would make actually a very good show into itself, so we may not get into it too much because we might want to do another show on this another time. But
the big one is to give little, give seldom, and above all, give grudgingly.
So I think this is a very stark contrast to what we do today.
Definitely.
I think in 1894, people that were writing that book were saying that the wise bride will only permit a maximum of 2 very brief sexual experiences weekly. Mm-hmm. And as time goes by in the relationship, she should make every effort to reduce this frequency. So feigning illness, sleepiness, and headaches are among her best friends. Now, this was considered that sex was revolting and that most men by nature were rather perverted. And if given half a chance, they would engage in quite a variety of the most revolting practices, including performing the normal act in abnormal positions, or mouthing the female body and offering her their own vile bodies to be mouthed in turn. So this was the kind of sex education that was going on in the late 1800s.
Interestingly, it was written by Ruth Smothers, which was the vicar's wife. Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, turning off the lights, giving little, giving seldom, and giving grudgingly, and not encouraging him, and lying as still as possible, all those other things. So, yes, these are ways that women kept their men hot, I guess, back in the day.
Definitely, by remaining absolutely still while he's huffing and puffing.
So the more modern Holly Hollenbeck, she wrote The Sex Lives of Wives and True Confessions and Provocative Advice. And she, this particular, when was this written? I can't.
Sex in 2008.
No, Sex Lives of Wives? I don't think.
Oh, which one?
No, that was... there was a book that was written.
It was
called Sex Lives of Wives. And she was saying how you must be silent and lie perfectly still. And as soon as the husband's completed the act, she should start nagging him about minor tasks she whisks him to perform in the morning. Very important, these clever wives, that they're ever on the alert for new and better methods of denying and discouraging the overtures of their husband. So arguments, nagging, scolding, and bickering, these are things that women were doing, and by their 10th anniversary, managing to complete their childbearing and have achieved the ultimate goal of terminating all sexual contact with the husband. So this wasn't even very long ago. I'd say this was 1950 by the sounds of this book. And it's very different from what we're doing today. Now, these were the how-tos and the how-nots back in the day, women having sex with men. And now it's all about initiating sex with your husband, exuding a lot of enthusiasm and tuning in.
And being creative. Make love as a lady, and the next time play it up. Really play it the role-playing. You can be a tramp next time. You can play fast and frantic, and other times really nice and slow and romantic. Different places, different sound effects. Yeah, using compliments. All
so
of that.
This is the creating and variety.
Definitely.
Loving his private part.
Private part, interesting way of describing it, is it not?
Touch it, stroke it, play with it, use your mouth, love it like your pet.
Compliment his technique. Tell him what you love about his body, his touch, and technique. Constantly encouraging him during sex. And this will make him happy to oblige you.
And another do for women is to exude tremendous enthusiasm for sex and have it as often as possible. Try never to say no and do not start thinking or talking about other chores or problems during your encounters. So this is sex in 2008. We women initiate, take the lead, encouraging him to reciprocate. And when he has been pleased, the standard of care we will receive in all departments will dramatically improve. I think that's pretty large and sweeping, but perhaps it works. Try it out. I don't know.
You guys can write in, listeners, and tell us all about what works for you.
One of the things that I think is very seriously and does work is complimenting them on a certain technique. If they're doing something that works, positive reinforcement is a powerful tool.
And I think it's important to pull that, not just in the bedroom, but in all aspects of the relationship.
Yes.
Whether or not it's the way you like how he smiles, or the way he washes the dishes, how he managed to get that extra grime out. That just don't talk about that while you're in bed. But
now, on the assertiveness and asking for things you want thing, now, these women that were saying in the 1800s, they were like, deny and deny and don't even talk about it. The next level of the 1950s was like nag and scold. And now it's more about asking for what you want and taking care that any of your ideas don't come across as criticism, and incorporating what you would like him to do and to be by working the suggestions into sort of the details of perhaps a story, like how hot some such action would make you or your you know, character in the story feel. So kind of it makes it feel like it's almost his idea.
Exactly. I think that's a very wise way to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a really nice Valentine's Day gift to do for somebody, where you can write them a really sexy story and then suggest acting it out.
Yes, and this is along the lines of telling him your fantasies. Now, if you want to learn about fantasies and telling what to do and not do, refer to our previous shows for sure. We've done lots of shows on fantasy.
Yes, we have.
Part of women, we're recommending you to be hot and sexy in your life is to put an effort into looking sexy. Sort of give him advanced warning, maybe, by showing him this lingerie early in the day and offering to model it for him later so that he knows that maybe he's coming home to a little bit of action and he can have a protein shake before he gets home or something.
So what it comes down to is anticipation. It's right. Us teasing them beforehand.
Right. And tuning into what he loves, I think, is also a good way to kind of get him hot and bothered. I mean, if he likes watching sexy movies, suggest that you watch one together. If he wants to do the story, read exotic stories or have a fantasy thing, you know.
Or you can send him sext him while you're at work. You know, I can't wait to see you take your shirt off tonight. I bought you a really nice pair of boxers, and I'd rather see them on the floor of a bedroom.
And I like that idea. And I also think recreating the good times is good. Think back about what you used to do for him that he liked and do it again. So take him on a second honeymoon, recreate the first time you had sex. Just get into it, get creative.
Right? I think one of the key things, I like the idea about dressing sexy, but I think the bottom line with dressing sexy is feeling confident about yourself, because you could be wearing a hockey jersey, say, hypothetically, with, I think we talked about this last week, and nothing else underneath, and that could be really super sexy if you feel really good about who you are. Or you could be wearing something down to your ankles and a thong underneath or no panties, but again, it comes down to your attitude and feeling good about yourself, and that goes for both men and women. I think that's really important.
Right, honey. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All about confidence with each other and yourselves.
And on that note, I think that's a beautiful place to wrap up the show. This is sort of the Valentine Nightmare show. But we did end up getting into, like, good tips on how to be a good lover towards the end. But that's to help avoid the dry fingers, the schmegma.
Do you want to explain what schmegma is?
It's an oily kind of kind of coating that comes on your genitals, men and women, especially with uncircumcised or natural uncut cocks have schmegma, and women have schmegma. And it's just this oily kind of quite strong smelling.
I was just going to ask, is it scented?
Yes, it's quite scented. And you can roll it into little white balls. It's quite stinky. And so you just can wash that quite easily off of your body and peeling back your pubis, which is the skin covering your clitoris or you're rolling back your foreskin will produce the area that will get the schmegma off, and everybody will be happy.
Which, on that note, it's really good to keep that area of your body clean,
yes,
both the
is.
Front and the back, if yes. you want somebody to be going downstairs.
Yes, and in a pinch, you can use baby wipes. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Caroline and I are going to be back next week to follow up on this chilling selection of Valentine nightmares.
So you can write to us if you want and
yes.
tell us your sexy Valentine's Day stories or your nightmare mm-hmm. stories. That's at Julie@JuiceBoxRadio.com or Caroline@JuiceBoxRadio.com. And we would love to share them and explore those.
Yes.
Could be highly interesting.
And we look forward to hearing how Marion's Valentine went next week as well as ours, right?
Yes, since he's up next, Mr. Hans von Claus.
Oh,
it's Valentine's Day every day, because that's why he's still in a relationship, because he does this every day. He's a good man to
his
woman.
Valentine's Day should be 365 days
that's
a year
right.
where everybody loves and respects
yeah,
both each other.
Guys go
and
twice a year to the flower shop for Mother's Day and
yes, I didn't know that. No.
Hello?
Twice a year into the flower shops.
Yeah, but it's quite pathetic when you see guys only running to the flower shop before Valentine's Day and Mother's Day, and it's just kind of sad, isn't it?
They should be doing it more often. Is that what you're saying, Marion?
Well, I buy my wife flowers at least twice a month.
Oh well, I wish I was your wife.
But it
I'd also like to borrow your shoes.
We definitely love his shoes.
All right, so yes, Hans von Claus Misery Hour coming up next on CITR. I'd say. He's a very sexy man to be
miserable
with. Yes, and so let him guide you into the wee hours with his fabulous collection of music, very ambient, his super hot voice. I don't know what you're saying half the time, but it's really...
Nobody does. That's the whole idea.
Really great. Sometimes I'm deeply disturbed by what you have to share for our listeners, Marion, but generally your music is fabulous. Anyway, thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We'll be back soon at the sexy hour.
Of 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Mess that one up.
I think you love it though, Jules.
Cock, yes.
Do you?
I mean, sorry.
Yes, I haven't turned us off yet.
Oh, God.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime,